Big shoes. Big shoes.
Big shoes.
Big shoes.
Big shoes.
Big shoes.
Large footwear.
Huge moccasins.
Giant sandals.
Gargantuan Air Jordans.
I'm not going to be able to keep this up, so you got to do the same. Come on, dude.
Big shoes. Big shoes. Hi, and welcome back to the HBO Boys podcast, Big Shoes. We are talking about Succession, Season 4, Episode 6, entitled Living Plus, Big Shoes. And we are here today with our co-host, as always, Justin, Big Shoes.
Hey, Big Shoes.
I, for a minute today, was like, do I do it 50 minutes straight?
I mean, Big Shoes, obviously you Big Shoes do that. That's Big Shoes, a great decision, Big Shoes.
I could fucking Big Shoes this. I could do it anytime I wanted, and I want everyone to know that. If I want to say Big Shoes, I will. Big Shoes. I saw a Writers Guild sign on the internet. As you might know, they are on strike. Mm-hmm. And the sign said, pay your writers or we will spoil the end of Succession for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So hopefully they pay them. Also, I got a very fun text this week from our pal Alex, who was listening to our podcast about the Successions. And he said, why does Justin always bring up the Civil War? And I'm dumb, so it took me a good 2 minutes to get that joke. He was saying that you say secession all the time.
Right.
And I was okay. Like, this is a good moment to remember that while I lambast you for saying a word, and listen, you say words the way you want to say them. This is gosh dang America, Big Shoes. And you do again. But I was mad at myself for how stupid I am for not getting that joke sooner. And then I was just proud of Alex because good joke.
Yeah. And I asked you in the last episode, it was, do you succeed or do you secede? And, you know, the South did secede. They didn't succeed, right. But they
didn't succeed. No. The North went down there and shot the racism right out of them.
Yeah. They anti-seceded them.
Yeah. And they were never racist. Racism is dead, actually. Dead. Never came back.
Ever since. Big Shoes.
Big Shoes. I've also been seeing a lot of clickbaity stuff about this show this week. Like, who is Shiv's baby daddy? The mystery of it all. Is Logan secretly alive? Will Connor actually be president at the end? Is Greg a secret genius? And sadly, for all of those statements, and I say sadly because the con heads here, of which I am one, I believe we will be disappointed because I think all of those statements are bullshit. I think there are no mysteries in this show. I don't think Connor's going to be president. I want him to be. Sure. I don't think Greg is a genius. I want him to be. Sure. I don't think we've discussed at length how we believe the show is going to end with just a general sadness, but not like this ain't gonna red wedding right at the end. I don't think.
I don't think a
huge mystery. Like, I don't think Logan's gonna pop out at his funeral and be like, ha, not dead,
and then kill everyone in the room. Like, yeah, no, dude, no way.
Him and Marcia pick up guns they hid in the coffin and just kind of 1-2 Rambo the room. I don't think that's going to happen.
And realistically, Logan is just actually ramboing the room and Marcia is just stabbing Shiv over and over and over and over and over and over. Big Shoes again.
Big Shoes. And they're both wearing clown shoes. Like, we heard, by the way,
we heard all about the Big Shoes.
Yeah, and we're here killing you in Big Shoes. Although I did see one thing this week that got me thinking a little bit, because while we're kind of leaning into the idea that we think the end of this show is going to be generally sad, but with really no pomp and circumstance, just a descent into, well, that's depressing. Like, I think the biggest criticism the end of this show is going to get is that was, one, a little boring, and two, kind of a bummer. Not just kind of, a big fucking bummer.
Yeah, that's the part about it in particular that kind of sucks, because you want more people to watch it. And it's exciting when people who never got into something get into something you like. But the problem is that for the people who have been enjoying it this entire time, it's like you have like, so Kendall ending up winning, quote unquote, but ending up alone and owning the business. He betrayed everyone he knew and fucked over everyone in his family. And now he won. He's the boss. He owns the company, so on and so forth. That is like a perfect ending to the story they're trying to tell, but it is a very depressing and boring ending for people who are just like, oh, what's this succession show?
Yeah.
Big shoes.
Right. Like, he basically, fuck you. And he's just sitting in a chair alone, maybe watching a video. You know, he made Roman a video where he loved Logan talking, but edited to tell Roman that he has a micropenis and he's always wrong. Maybe he makes himself one where Logan's telling him he loves him or something, and he's watching that alone in a chair. How sad would that shit be?
So Kendall made that video? Because he had Greg ask that editor guy to make the edit initially, so I assume that came from Kendall?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Kendall sent that video to Roman.
It seems like Roman liked it, though.
Well, I think he just likes listening to his father's voice, and he misses his father shitting on him on a daily basis because he's extremely broken.
True, and the whole Jerry thing where she was just basically telling me he's a fucking insect the entire time and he'd jerk off to it. It's a little bit of both. A little bit of, yeah. Little bit of love. Big shoes.
And that dynamic has changed drastically, I guess. I didn't think it was going to, but it did this episode, which we'll get into a little later, because I wanted to go over this one more thing I saw on the internet and run it by you, where we have come to the conclusion that the ending is going to be big sad, sort of a bummer, as we said. But I think there is a different level, if we're on level 100 of hell, it's negative 100, I suppose, because it's deep in the earth. We can go even lower. And it's an ending where either Kendall or Roman dies of a drug overdose. And I don't think this is going to be the ending. I think that's pomp. I think that's circumstance. And I don't know if there's any room for that shit. But Kendall is acting a bit erratic lately. And perhaps that is just, you know, the ego trip that he is currently on getting the better of him and acting like a jackass. That's incredibly viable. And also, Roman picked up a bottle of pills that dropped out of the capacious bag that Harry, or what's her name, the anchor who can't seem to know what to do with their hands, and looked at him real close. He looked at pills too closely for about 2 seconds in just like a kind of a throwaway shot, which I don't know why that would be there for any other reason other than the audience to be like, huh, why did that happen? So the version of this show where it ends and Kendall is alone in a chair watching a video that he made himself of Logan after coming back from the funeral because Roman died like mouth foaming in a bathtub. Like, that's not one that I had come across in my brain at all until I saw someone on the internet say it. What are your feelings on that? Like, do you think it's possible? Do you think it's likely?
I think it's not Kendall that is going to be the one that sits in the end, because what if it's Roman and Kendall is the one that has the overdose?
Opposite,
right? Because if you're talking about specifically anyone in this show having an overdose, you look at track records, that would be Ken for sure. Roman looking at the pills for a little bit too long could be some kind of string that comes across in the end. Maybe Roman poisons Ken because tries to take over too much. Shit. And then he overthrows Ken. Now he's sole leader. He fires everyone and destroys, gets rid of everyone he knows and hires a whole new suite. And that's the ending.
Yeah, I mean, that is a bit like Red Wedding-y. Like, that is...
It is HBO. Yeah,
it's big HBO.
Shoes, big shoes. Big shoes.
But big shoes. And I would say that has no merit. But after this episode where Roman just goes on a firing spree, which, by the way, he only fired women. So, great. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, Rome. And the beginning of this episode, other than Kendall watching a video of Logan saying his kids are dumb, and then Kendall just being like, no, that's fine. It was a Valentine's Day card, basically. That's not even that vile. after that, they get together with the team to sort of lay the groundwork for, hey, Madsen might be nuts, you know? Anyway.
Maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe not. And then Shiv, who has recently had a conversation with Madsen because their planes were next to each other, rich people problems.
Hashtag.
And Madsen laying the context for they were unprofessional and weird on the top of that mountain. And them saying basically the same thing to their group of people. I like that they both came to the same conclusion, like those guys and or that 2 meter tall Swede man, unhinged.
Am I right? Crazy. We can't trust them. No, him. No way. No way, both shape, those or form.
Thanks. Big shoes.
I honestly, if we're being honest with ourselves here, I don't think we could trust anybody. Okay. Like, this deal is not good.
Bad. It's bad, I'd say. And I'm glad that we actually got to see exactly what happened and know that both parties are full of shit. Right? Like, Madsen was egging them on the entire time, saying unprofessional bullshit. And then Kendall slash Roman, mainly Roman, finally just said what he wanted to say. And yeah, it was bad because he made it so that Madsen could jack up the price, and due to fiduciary responsibility, the deal had to go through. But it still hasn't yet. And they're still doing the plan and trying to bomb this thing. Which then, by the way, Shiv is like, guys, so very obvious what you're doing. I'm not dumb. Stop lying to me. At which point Roman was like, no, dude, no. What?
Yeah, Roman was like, ah, weird woman brain. Ugh. What are you thinking, dude?
Can Pinky dance? He didn't believe she could.
Can Pinky dance? Because she doesn't have big enough shoes.
No, she doesn't. She needs to get them clown shoes for out of the closet. She takes them. Marcia, while she's on her killing spree with the knife, she doesn't have the big shoes because they've been previously taken by Shiv, who went through her closet. This is deep shit. Anyway.
We have our own version of the show now.
It's yeah, this is fan fiction at this point. Let's talk a little bit about the Tom and Shiv thing, because it is, I don't know, it's like narrative fodder at this point relative to what the fuck Kendall and Roman are doing, just destroying their worlds or succeeding, like failing upwards, depending on how you want to see it.
Shiv
and Tom bone again.
Yeah, I'm so interested to see, because the way when you said it was fodder, I can't remember what we were talking about in the previous episode where Shiv was pulling the strings, essentially. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, the possibility that she was just all in and knew everything and was going. I call it fodder because I think it's just the least likely version of it happening, where she at the end is somehow on top with whatever version of that is, like if it's good or bad, who fucking knows, but does she win? I think that's the third likeliest thing to happen.
Well, the version of that is specifically now they have the conversation where essentially Tom just like, I am with you for money. I'm just going to be straight up. I'm going to tell you it right to your face. So, and they both crack up laughing at that point. So she's scheming in any way, shape or form. Like, she obviously knows she's getting butt out herself from the two siblings. So, like, is there an avenue that Tom can fill in somewhere, even though Carl really let him know what's what?
Yeah, right. I mean, Tom has deceived her before. I think it was this episode where she was like, well, you betrayed me. Or last episode. Yep. Either one. The point is, they're being truthful with each other now, and it is turning both of them on.
A lot.
It is possible that they become a duo once more. And now that they live in the land of the truth, their power levels rise beyond 9,000, and we are underestimating them as much as Shiv's brothers are.
Yeah, I say that's like the third string. Obviously not the most likely of things to happen, but each and every scene I see with them, and that's why the fodder, like the word fodder in particular, I'm just like, I can't make my brain write it off as just like, we need a scene with Shiv and Tom. Let's do the bitey thing. Okay, cool. Like,
yeah,
there has to be a building that just feels like too much screen time for it to be a throwaway.
Yeah, no, I say fodder because I think that's how the writers are trying to make us feel.
Okay.
Because, and this episode did a very good job of Shiv calling her siblings out for their immediate bullshit, right? They promised to her that they weren't going to butt her out, and then that's all they've been doing. They're not thinking about anything other than themselves. And Roman is firing women who are smarter than him. And Kendall is trying to get a house with clouds built in a day and saying nobody can say no. By the big way, shoes. Like, how do you make people not like you 101 taught by Kendall? And he's doing a great job. Professor of the year.
Just giant shoes. Huge shoes.
He is the biggest shoes on. And he is on stage. He does a pretty good job lying to everybody about numbers that are fake. Roman doesn't want to get on stage with him and wear the flight jacket. So,
the flight jacket.
Yeah.
That's like the peak. I have never had to ever genuinely work for any bit of my money. Kendall, that is peak Kendall right in that moment where what are the jackets for? The launch, bro.
Yeah. Like,
you are the corniest, shittiest human being on the face of the earth.
Yeah. I mean, this is the guy who walked in and was like, I just want to, at the beginning of my tenure, come in here and be like, yo, like, he's still that guy.
True.
Wearing the fucking flight jacket and talking about Living Plus, the name of the episode. So let's talk about that a little bit, I guess. Living Plus is a cruise, but on land. What a fucking nightmare.
Who was it during the episode? I think it was actually Mattson who said it was like the most like heartbreaking, depressing, miserable thing. Like, cruises in general were already depressing enough, and now it's like you can't escape, but you're on land still. It's like the only part of the cruise that makes it not insufferable. You've removed like,
I would argue it's a better cruise because the fact that it's on the water is why I hate cruises. I don't like that you're in the middle of god dang nowhere, and the large vessel that is mainly shit featuring humans can just stop working in the ocean and never come back, and you fade away into obscurity. That is my main issue with cruises and why I'll never go on them. Are you a cruise bro? Do you want a cruise? Don't take my negativity in and use it for your vibes. But are you a cruise bro?
So the fact that you just said don't take your negativity and let it ruin my vibes, I want to let you know that I am actually actively a cruise hater.
Oh,
I fucking despise cruises. Partially for your reason. The Deep Blue is giga scary, and that's not something I want to mess with.
Oh, the ocean's the scariest thing in the goddamn world.
That's space. There's aliens in there. I'm convinced. Mark DeLong is right. UFOs, they all live in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? 100%. More specifically, I think if you even removed the ocean part, I think it's still something that I hate with every core of my being, because it sounds like genuinely the most boring fucking thing on the face of the earth. Just being trapped in a consolidated space with the same human beings for a week plus.
Isn't that just what the earth is though, dude?
Yeah, but like, that's on a bigger scale, bro. You have people you're never going to meet.
Bigger shoes than the cruise.
Well, the thing that the earth and cruises have is the same is that each deck is flat and it's like the earth is flat and shit. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Finally, we've gotten here to the truth.
To the truth. We've broken it down.
Okay. Anyway, Living Plus is a real estate venture, cruises on the land, that is being inflated by both Kendall's words and fake numbers being put out into the world. Carl coming up to Kendall before he goes out there. Dude, Carl's popping the fuck off this season, and I like it so much.
Carl, mark my words right now, is a cold-blooded fucking assassin. if you say anything on that stage that I don't approve of, I'll fucking squeal. Like, go Carl 2023. So many presidents in this show.
So many presidents. Let all of them be president, honestly.
Every single one of them. Build a cabinet.
Then at the end, when everyone's like, Kendall kind of did a good job lying to everybody, Carl immediately about faces and was like, good stuff. Good stuff.
I believed in him the whole time. I love this guy. So smart. So great.
I'm glad he's on our team. Big shoe.
Big shoe.
You know what was actually interesting? The most interesting part of Kendall talking was using Logan behind him and sort of looking up to his dead father. And also changing words that his father said. Just kind of another link to Kendall thinks he's his father, but better. he's Logan Plus and this is Living Plus.
Oh, dear God. Logan Plus. He's going to brand it. Watch. The next episode is called Logan Plus, isn't it?
It's not. I feel like we've gone over it and it's not that, but
we did.
I think your vibe on the subject is going in the right direction. Your vibe on the subject is going in the right direction is my version of office speak. Like, yeah.
When you look at it from a synergistic approach about 30,000 feet in the air, your approach is where I am actually vying to add currents to our current procedure and get to said goal and said KPI complete the quarter in surplus green.
Understood. Yeah. What I'll say to that, though, your shoe's very small today, by the way. That's separate, but...
I'll kill you if you say that again.
And then you stab. Just stab and I'm dead. And they're like, okay, well, can we just, Frank, can you do the PowerPoint? Next slide, please. Next thank slide. You. Thank you. Somebody drag Ryan away. He's bleeding all over my very big shoes. Anyway.
If anyone says it else, I'll do the same.
So I'll fucking kill you. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. We didn't really get into the Roman thing. He goes and sees the head of Waystar Studios about their gargantuan movie that is dog shit. And he is sent in there to, one, be like, I'm the boss now. But also, two, you have to fix all this stuff and you have to do it very quickly. And he is told information that is the truth, which he hates so much, which is, hey, man. We can't get directors to work for us because you guys are talking to a presidential candidate who is to 50%, if not more, you know, based on the future election, perhaps less, reviled by America. So a liberal Hollywood that doesn't want to work for us anymore because they hate that guy. It's one of our main problems. And then Roman's like, yeah, right. You're fired.
And that's a wonderful decision process you get to watch Roman go through. And that is basically just, hey, Kendall says, I got to go meet with this person. I'm meeting with this person. Yeah, schmooze is what it is. They bring up problems. They seem smarter than me. We need to get this person out of here. Fuck, you're fired.
And then the Jerry conversation is not that at all. It is something completely separate. Like, he's on a power trip on the first one. He is saying out loud, like, I know you think you're smarter than me. At which point, the studio head's like, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just sort of giving you facts. And he's like, bye. Jerry is a relationship that he has had for a long time. It's very weird. She used to berate him, and he liked it very much.
To completion.
Yeah, to completion. So these days, though, Jerry is treating him like a little boy, because that's how he's acting. And I didn't think we were going to get to the end of that scene and have him fire her. That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, it's... And because I think it's in the comparison to the other conversation he had, it was just with like someone he barely even knew. So he's on his power trip. He's just, you're fired. I'm the big guy. Get the fuck out of my way. But the Jerry conversation, almost like there's the you're fired inside of him. And it almost like came out like an accidental stabbing murder of scorned lovers.
Right.
Even because it was just like, well, maybe I could fire. Like, he was almost about to cry. I was just like, oh my goodness, great. What the fuck
is going on? Yeah. And then he goes and tells Kendall, one, that he fired the first woman who is better at her job exponentially than he is. In fact, he fired two women who were, by all accounts, great at their jobs.
Yep.
Really good shit. He says that, and Kendall's like, yeah, sure. Fine. Yeah, right on. Shake things up. Then Roman says, and I fired Jerry, to which Kendall says, Shiv's godmother? And he's like, yeah, we might have to, that one I'm feeling less good about. We might have to run that one back. At which point, Kendall does something that of course he does, which is, no, double down.
I thought for a second that you were going to say, that it came as a surprise to you, but the nanosecond, like, when he's like, you mean Shiv's godmother, Jerry? Yeah, fuck it, dude. That's sick. That plays really well for me. Like, I was like, of course, this piece of shit.
I have a few things to say. Number one, your Kendall impression there was pretty good.
Oh, you think so, dude?
Yeah.
That's awesome, bro.
So, now that I said it and you're thinking about it more, it's gotten worse.
Damn it. God. All right. I'll work on it.
Big shoes. Yeah. I think it's one of those like turn your brain off really good kind of things. Think about it at all. And it's gone.
Bring it back next episode for sure.
Yeah. We'll come in. The next episode, you just say big shoes for 10 minutes in Kendall's voice and it gets big worse shoes, and worse over time. By the end of it, it's just Trump. Big shoes.
Get
the biggest shoes.
If you think these shoes are small, you should see French's shoes.
My hands, maybe. Big shoes.
Small hands, maybe. I don't know. The camera does it sometimes, but big shoes.
Small gloves, big shoes.
Huge cock. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't even. It's the biggest human. Doctors have told me I could die at any moment. My heart could give way. Huge cock.
Where does the blood go, big shoes?
Where does the blood go? I don't know. We'll ask Hillary.
You know, when we're doing this, I'm actively thinking, hey, what clip am I going to send to Adam for TikTok?
Yeah,
and while it's happening, I at this point, I know when the clip is happening when I'm within it. And that's for sure it. That's going to be negative algorithm, but I don't care.
I don't know. If he's proved that anything through his entire fucking existence, is that there's really no such thing as negative algorithm. That's true. It's ever present and won't go away.
Big shoes. So at the end, Kendall goes into the ocean and he lays down, he puts his head underneath and baptizes himself once more. Kendall reborn. This is a new version of Kendall who
Logan 2.0.
That's yeah, Logan 2.0 plus 2.0, 5.7.0. No, Logan Prime number plus.
Logan 2.0 Prime Super Plus Mega Edition Collector's Legendary Roy.
Shiny Pokemon. Kendall Plus.
I thought he was going to kill himself. I did have a moment where I was like, I thought, watching him dive into the wave, I was like, no way he dies.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they wouldn't do that right here. That would be madness.
Does he have the gall to drown himself?
Right.
No.
Wild.
He's just baptizing himself in front of God, Jesus, the ocean, his big shoes that they left out on the beach because he didn't wear them into the ocean because he's dumb.
I like ochin better.
Ochin is better. That's a Ralphie May quote. I'm sure other people have said ochin. But Ralphie May has brought that into my bones, so every time I feel as though I must say it.
I feel as though that I'm going to secede into the ocean.
Right.
How's that sound? That feels good?
That sounds pretty good. I hope your shoes are tied on tight so they don't come off.
Big shoes.
Pretty big shoes. I don't know. Do you got anything else, sir?
I mean, sort of, kind of. I hate to keep wrapping up each of these episodes with a recap of how many things can be going on at once.
Right.
But I will say with this episode in particular, and with Tom and Shiv kind of duoing again, back in the ranked duo.
Yes, right. They have accepted each other's invite.
Mm-hmm, yep. How do they wrap it? That's not a concern. I feel like we know what we want with the ending, but more specifically, I knew what I wanted from the ending and I knew where I felt like it was going, but now it's just like, oh my God, there's so much intrigue, so much opportunity. I'm overloaded. I love it.
So two things. One, I just finished the second season of Sweet Tooth on Netflix. I believe we've talked about Sweet Tooth here before. It's The Last of Us, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main differences is tone. The Last of Us is sad, not for sadness's sake, just because it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. They're really leaning into that. And as much as they want to play with your heart, they will. The plot of it is just straight sad, right?
And they're sad.
Yeah, there are. It's sadness porn, basically. And there are moments of hope and happy times that you can't really revel in because it's about to be usurped by sadness. You don't get the feeling that The Last of Us is ever going to have a happy ending the way that we feel about Succession. That's not the way Sweet Tooth feels. Sweet Tooth has sad moments accented by happiness and hope. hope is what is woven into the foundation of that show. It's like they saw The Last of Us, both of them basically happened at the same time. It's just sort of veering paths on what people like in shows and what creators like to write. Some people like to lean in to, yeah, of course this shit's sad. It's a post-apocalyptic wasteland where people eat each other, and sometimes the people who are eating each other aren't even like the mushrooms who eat people, right? It's just normie people eating each other, and that's fucking sad.
Sometimes you just roll up on a bunch of cannibals, you know? You never know in post-apocalyptia.
Yeah, post-apocalyptia is a good... I love that.
Should be a show name, I'm just saying.
Should be a show name. You got huge shoes, dude. Big shoes. But Sweet Tooth is not that way, right? A sad thing happens at the end of season 2. That's not spoiling anything. Of course it is that way.
You've completely shattered the show for me, and I cannot watch it any longer because I know something sad happens.
It's post-apocalyptia, baby. Of course, sad thing happens.
Jesus.
But the end of season 1 of The Last of Us, my exact feeling on the subject was, oh no. And my feeling when Sweet Tooth season 2 ended was, aw. Like, they're the same premise, but the fabric of each show is completely different. And it's the same exact way I feel about watching Ted Lasso and Succession at the same time. Right? They are both workplaces, but they're complete, like, their foundations are just so, so different.
Couldn't be more opposite.
Yes, right. They are trying to get something completely different across. I think you can like both Sweet Tooth and The Last of Us. I think you can like both Ted Lasso and Succession. I don't think you can love both Ted Lasso and Succession. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just two completely different experiences made for not even two completely different people, but like G was saying when he came in here, it's like if you're watching Ted Lasso, you're watching for heartwarming moments and camaraderie and
escapism.
You're looking to gather some happiness. Whereas the opposite,
some happiness person, tokens.
Happiness tokens. I need some happiness tickets so I can go to the happiness convenience stand and get some happiness toys.
Oh, coins.
From the happiness arcade, you know what I'm saying?
I am knowing what you were saying.
But again, secession.
Seceding
from the union is a lot different because it is so steeped in trying to be grounded and real that that's kind of how the world is. Sorry.
Yeah. Also, and this is grasping at strings, but I'm currently listening to a podcast about the Boston molasses disaster. And it happened, I think, in the early 1920s. In the early 1920s, there was a 50-foot tall container that was filled to the brim with molasses. Like, 27 million pounds of it, or something to that effect.
That is very American.
Yeah. When you actually, it wasn't for food products. When you distill down molasses, you get an alcohol that was used in explosives for the First World War.
Very American, I maintain.
Yeah, that's a good point. it didn't get less American when I
specified. No, it's not for food. It's for bombs, you fucking idiot. Yeah,
so, okay. Please. So this 50-foot tall container was built hastily. On the first day it was built, a dude fell off the scaffolding and died. And then like 2 hours later, the bosses were like, you have to start again, by the way. We're fucking on the clock. Someone carted his body away and let's get into it. And yes. It was made poorly. The guy who designed it was not an engineer. And then for the next few years, there was just a dude going to his boss on a daily basis being like, yo, man, that thing is bad. It's leaking a bunch and it makes a noise that I don't think it should. It makes like a thunder noise, which is weird for a big container to make. You should figure that out. And the boss was like, it sounds expensive. So.
Sounds like money leaving my pocket, so right. I am going to bury my head in the sand. So, I bid thee adieu.
And then it exploded.
Naturally.
A 25-foot molasses wave took children away into the harbor. Drowned people on third floors of buildings.
This is very depressing. I hope you have a nice tie-in.
There is no tie-in.
This is there awesome. Is
no bow
this
on this.
Is so great.
I just
this
sort of wanted to tell you about a podcast I was listening to.
This is worse than Heart Thermometer, dude. Come on.
No. Like no, it's
Boston
not.
Boston Molasses Crisis. What do they call it again?
The Boston Molasses Disaster of 1921.
Of course.
I don't know. The string I was grasping was that this is corporate greed, and that's somehow sort of about Succession. I just sort of wanted to tell you guys about it, so.
Well, now I have that piece of useless fucking information in my mind, so I really appreciate your story here, dude.
Yeah.
I love it
well,
very
is
much.
It useless? Now you have the visual of a child being taken out to sea by sugar.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the use is torment. Okay, you're successful.
Yes, I was. Big shoes, dude.
Big shoes. Big shoes.
Oh, successful, dude.
At least now, actually, there is a silver lining to this, is now I know that I can't store molasses like that on my property. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably shouldn't do that. Good. No. Noted with thanks. 30,000 feet, synergies, you know the drill.
Yeah, keep saying those words while I look up the episode name for the next one.
I won't. I refuse.
God, you did this last time. This exact thing.
Listen, I think that your aggressive tone is toxic to the workplace, and I think that it's a non-effective way to muster morale.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, see ya.
Perfect. Tailgate party. We talked about that last time. We asserted that perhaps it was about Logan's funeral, but the tagline is, hoping to work the angles, Kendall and Roman ask Shiv to invite a campaign insider to Logan's pre-election day party. Pre-election day party. So basically someone from the Mencken campaign is coming on over to have a discussion about the future of America. This time, though, not with Logan, who touted himself as always choosing who the next president was. But now it's fucking Kendall Roy and the Funky Bunch.
Kendall Roy and the Funky Bunch?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
They're dancing. Pinky can dance in her big
Pinky
old shoes.
Pinky can dance. Yeah, but you got to think of something cooler for Kendall, dude. Ken's a cool guy.
That's true. Yes, he's wearing a Yankees jersey and rapping during it, I suppose.
Okay, fair. Fair point. Fair point. Duly noted with thanks.
You're welcome. That is episode 7. Episode 8 is called America Decides. We already knew that. We assume it's going to be election night, and we have not gotten any con stuff lately, so it stands to reason that he doesn't win, which is horseshit. And then episode 9 is called Church and State. We didn't know that before. Episode 8, though, going back to America Decides, Jesse Armstrong, the creator of the show, was asked before the season began what episode was going to surprise people the most. And he definitely couldn't say episode 3, right? Because that would just give way too much away for an early episode in the season. And if we're going in knowing episode 3 is going to be crazy, I think it makes it worse. And saying episode 8 is like, yeah, well, of course, you know, you're getting towards the end of the season. Weird, crazy shit's going to happen. But how is America Decides going to be a holy shit moment, like Jesse Armstrong has said that he thinks people will view it as?
Conhead, stand up. It's your time.
Well,
he's going to win it.
They're talking to Election Day insiders, party insiders for the right of America. Maybe this is Con's turnaround. Who knows?
Yeah, because Mencken's, I guess, was Mencken's the Republican frontrunner?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So his ties within ATN and all that could go south for him, and Connor could pick up with his dad's death, and I don't know. It's a long shot, but I'm all aboard it. I'm all aboard for Connor becoming president and Greg winning it all in the end. So,
you know what's crazy? Connor running for president is like if Rupert Murdoch's son was running for president, but Rupert Murdoch didn't put his son on Fox News, the cable channel that he owns.
Right,
like he chose
right.
someone else.
Right. Yeah.
Just so aggressively
realistic.
Yeah, aggressively realistic is a good way to put it.
Because there's one thing I definitely know for sure, as much as I am alive and a human being on Earth that I believe in, is that Rupert Murdoch loves his children unconditionally.
Yes. Sure,
definitely.
But he doesn't think they're serious people.
No, but he loves them, definitely, for sure.
They'll never fill his...
Big shoes. What I was thinking when we first started doing Big Shoes was to mimic the SpongeBob episode where it was like, I need a ticket to Bikini Bottom. And he's like, I don't understand your accent. So we could do, I don't big shoes, understand big shoes, your accent, big shoes. But luckily I didn't do it because I don't think that would have played very well. But you're going to play this part, so I guess I got it in there.
You got it in. Congrats, dude.
What
have I done? Big shoes. Capacious shoes. I don't know how we didn't say that one before right now.